This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the RPM Subteam for Sunrise Registration Call, held on Wednesday, the 27th of February, 2019. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now? Thank you. Hearing no names, I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for recording purposes and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it over to Julie Hedlin. Please begin.
Thanks very much, Andrea. This is Julie Hedlin from staff. Just to quickly review the agenda, the first item is the updates to statements of interest. Agenda item two, including items 2.1 and 2.2, is the review of previously collected data source documents against the charter questions. And just to note that in the interest of efficiency, we will combine 2.1 and 2.2. That is, we will look at each of the questions against the data in 2.1 and 2.2, rather than going through all questions 1 through 12 in 2.1 and then revisiting all questions 1 through 12 in 2.2. Then for agenda item 3, we will go through the 2.2 and 2.3. So we'll follow that for 2.1, 2.2, and 2.3. And then in agenda item 3, we'll be looking at the additional data sources and noting where comments have already been provided in the Google Doc. And then just noting also that if people have not had a chance to enter comments into the Google Doc, the document will be reopened briefly until midnight EST, Eastern Standard Time, today. But that would just be for people to add comments as to whether or not they think that the data source answers or does not answer, help answer or doesn't help answer the Sunrise Charter questions. And then agenda item 4 is any other business. Staff will just very briefly remind everyone of the upcoming meetings, in particular in Kobe, and that's relating to an email that you all should have seen a little bit earlier today. And with that, let me go ahead and turn things over to David McCauley.
Thank you, Julie. Hello, everybody. This is David McCauley speaking for purposes of the record. And as Julie said, we have a full slate of work to do today to get through the 12 documents with respect to the three source documents that Ariel mentioned in our homework, and then go to the additional data. And so that's the plan. And let me reiterate that, you know, that the hope is to finish the this analysis. And what we're doing is creating good research tools for those who are interested in developing preliminary recommendations to be considered by the group. And so we're going to turn into doing that right now. I'm going to be toggling between the document and the Adobe room, and so apologies if I don't see a hand up for a lag period, but maybe someone can help me with that respect. First document I'm going to turn to is the Sunrise preamble questions. And I'm having a bit of a problem. Okay, I'm there. Along the way, I will mention if I saw it, if I noticed it, that additional comments have been added to these charter question documents from previous sources that we've reviewed in the previous weeks. And I'll notice in the preamble document that George has entered some comments with respect to the usefulness or not of the INTA survey document data. And so I would note that for your attention, ask you to take a look at that. And then scrolling down in that document for the preamble questions, I entered my feeling on that document that the three data sources for this week were really not particularly helpful with respect to these specific questions. And so that's really the sum total of it. I am going to shift over to the next question, but first I see a hand up. George, your hand's up. Please go ahead and take the floor.
Yeah, George Krikos for the transcript. On page 6 of this document, I actually had additional input for this week's homework. I decided I'd save the time and just put it in this week, not wait for others to make a contribution. On page 20, on page 20 of it, I can't.
George, can I ask you a question? Did I miss that? Or I'm not
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, you skip by it. On page
okay, 20. My apologies. Sorry about that.
On the rightmost column, it says ICANN 61 transcript.
Right, go ahead.
So, George Rickles, yeah, so there were a couple of little points, namely that with regards to abuse, John Nevitt mentioned they had to deal with some of the trademarks that, quote, people tried to get through the system. And on page 22, he mentions the countermeasure, namely that they made some of those terms premium. So that would affect our work on this charter question. Thank you.
Thank you. Apologies, I was going down that document too quickly. So I am now over on Sunrise Charter question number one. That's the question dealing with availability of Sunrise registrations only for identical matches. Going through that document, I have entered some comments at the bottom that I thought that was not particularly helpful with respect to the three new data sources. I'm going to go back up in that document just to double check that I didn't miss something in green. And I don't believe that I did. And so that's the sum total were mine. The document that the sources were not particularly helpful, at least in my opinion. So now going back to Adobe, I'm seeing no new hands, which means we can move to the next document, Sunrise Charter Question 2. And this is the question dealing, does Registry Sunrise Premium Name Pricing Practice unfairly limit ability of owners, trademark owners, to participate? And related question. And so here we have, again from George, some information from the INTA survey with specific references to the INTA survey final report and specific pages therein. And scrolling down in the document, there is an entry that says this is not particularly helpful, the staff compilation and TLD startup information. And then a comment by me saying there's possibly some indirect help here from the data subteam meeting with John Nevitt, only in the sense that it gets into premium pricing. And so that is the sum total of the comments with respect to question two. Toggling back to the Adobe, I see two hands. George, your hand is up first as I see it. Please go ahead.
Yeah, on page two, I actually did have something for the ICANN 61 document. Might have scrolled past it. It's on the right.
On page two.
On page two.
Okay. Apologies again.
It says on page 21 of the ICANN 61 transcript, John Nevitt mentioned that 98% of the time they're standard price names. So this is in the context of the premium names. So that might be an interesting data point, although that's only one registry, obviously. One registry that offers a lot of different TLDs. That's the biggest registry of new TLDs. Thanks.
Thank you, George. And I see what I'm doing. Okay, my apologies. I've just noticed how I'm reading this and how it's not working. Maxim, your hand was up next. Why don't you please go ahead?
Maxim Alzuba, for the record. I have a question. Have we checked the percentage of the particular TLDs which answered these questions to the number of other TLDs? Thanks.
Thank you, Maxim. And I have to say I'm getting some static on my line, so I'm not sure I caught all that. Could I ask you, Maxim, to repeat that? And my hope is that it won't be quite as staticky. Maxim, could you repeat that, please? When you were speaking, it was either muffled or it was staticky. I've had a hard time hearing that.
Is Maxim Alzuba, do you hear me?
I hear you, but there's some static when you speak, too. It's not the easiest.
Okay, I will use chat.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you, Maxim. And let me double check, see if there's any other hands. There are not. I'm going to go now to Sunrise Charter Question 3. And in this document, I'm going to go a little bit more slowly since I've muffed it on two of them. I don't see any comment here with respect to the new data sources except my own, which says that this perhaps is not direct help. The data subject, data with respect to the management team, data management team's discussion with John Nevitt talking about analogous situation. But if I'm not mistaken, that is the only new comment. And so I'm going to toggle back to Adobe to see if there's any hands on number three. I don't see any. And so I'm going to switch over now to Sunrise Charter question four. And you can read what these questions are. There's really no need to for me to repeat the question. And going slowly through that, I say that the staff compiled summary is not helpful, nor the others. And so I came up with a no, and I'm double checking again, don't see any new comments. And so that would be the treatment of Sunrise Charter question number four. I'm going back now to Adobe and don't see hands. And I have not, Maxim, I'm going to look for your chat. Have we checked the number of TLDs that were questioned to the total number of TLDs? And I, Maxim, am unable to answer that. I will be happy as I scroll over to the next question to ask if anyone, staff, or anyone else knows the answer to that question. I don't see a hand up. Or Mary. Mary's hand is up. Mary, why don't you go ahead and take the floor?
Thank you, David. And actually, I just wanted to clarify the context in which Maxim asked his question, because I think he may have raised it when we were discussing, or when you were discussing, the responses from John Nevitt of Donuts, as I put in the chat. That discussion took place between John and a previous subteam that was looking at the additional voluntary RPMs, and that was the reason why that conversation was just with Donuts. If he's talking about the surveys, then I think George has answered that in the chat, because there was no identifiable information as such in the surveys. But if he's talking about something else, we can try and find the answer for him. And that's correct, Maxime. John was specifically not speaking for the registry stakeholder group or any other registry operator except Donut, and it was for the specific purpose of a discussion over the additional voluntary RPMs that Donuts was offering with the sub-team that was looking at them. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Mary. And I would commend that transcript. It's an interesting discussion, but as Mary said, it's just John on speaking with the data sub-team. So I am going to move over to question Sunrise Charter question 5A, dealing with 30-day minimum. And George has added some information from the INTA study, specifically with respect to page 59, as having useful information. And I have put an entry in saying that the data subteam meeting with John, that transcript, gets into time periods only with respect to claims, not so much with Sunrise. And that's in the latter third. So I'm going to move to question 5B, but toggle back quickly to Adobe. Thank you for bearing with me. I don't see any hands. Sunrise Charter question 5B. Let's see if there's new information in there. And I noticed George has added some information from the transcript with John Nevitt on page 11 as having useful information and would commend that to you. Going down in that document, I made the observation that it's possibly helpful. I suggested that maybe chart 7 in the staff compiled data would be helpful by looking at the total numbers and what inferences can be drawn therefrom. I'm going to toggle back to Adobe. No hands at this point. Thank you all for bearing with my toggling. I'm going to go now to Sunrise Charter question 6. And I'm looking, I'm going to go back up to the top because I've been missing a little bit of the new information. I just want to double check. And I don't see anything that's germane until my comment that this is the homework assignment for this week is not much helpful. I did say that how the startup information could be used, but not so much with that it's helpful with respect to SCRPs, et cetera. Sunrise Charter question 7. I will get to in a second. I don't see any hands up. Getting to SMD files. And so I'm going to go back up, double check. And I see that I believe that's George has entered new information with respect to John Nevitt's transcript again, specifically pointing to page 18. And Christine's mention of a tricky little situation. And then later, I also point and say it's only inferentially helpful. I point to the same transcript and point out that there was a discussion of SMD between pages 3 and 6 and 16 to 18 that are not directly helpful but are inferentially helpful. And that's it. I shall now move to Sunrise Charter question 8, but I'm going back to Adobe. Okay, I don't see any hands. Julie, I'm not really checking chat very well. Julie and Greg, if you can help, if something comes up that needs to be mentioned, just let me know. On Sunrise Charter question 8, I will double check and go back up, see if I missed anything. Excuse me. This is on LRPA, LP, and QLP question. I entered new information from this week's homework assignment saying there's indirect help here in the ICANN.org maintained list of relevant dates by registry operators, possibly and only possibly being helpful. I will move to Sunrise Charter question 9. Coming back to Adobe very quickly. Don't see anything. So Sunrise Charter question 9 talks about the scope of Sunrise registrations. And again, I'm going to go back up and double check. And coming down through the document, I made a comment that the new sources for this week are not that helpful. I did sort of describe something about it, but basically came to the conclusion it was not helpful. I'm going over to the next question, number 10. Quickly come back to Adobe. Don't see any questions. On question 10, double checking to see if I missed a contribution. Don't see. I made my conclusion was that three new sources were not helpful with respect to this question. And that's it. So next question, number 11, with a quick look at the queue. Question number 11 gets into the subject of IDNs and non-English speakers and looking for new information. I came to the conclusion that the new homework assignment this week could be inferentially helpful and pointed out that there's you know, I clicked on several IDNs, but it's only inferentially helpful because it's not necessary. It wasn't clear to me in the ICANN or TLD startup document that it had all of the information. It's possible IDNs have additional information they're making available to people that might be speaking non-English languages. So that said, I'll go to question number 12, but first I'm going to double back to Adobe. Still no questions. I'm probably putting people to sleep. I apologize. Up to the top to double check for new comments.
George Rico's here. Just on that.
No, George, go ahead.
Number 11. Did you say that the Sunrise policy itself was in English? And so you're saying that if it's a foreign trademark holder, they might not have understood the Sunrise policy? I just want to.
No, it depended. I only clicked on less than five, probably four or five, something in that neighborhood. And some had a Sunrise policy in English, but that doesn't mean they didn't have one in another language. At least that's the conclusion I came to when I looked at the documents. I didn't know that it was comprehensive. And some of them did not even have that. That's what I recall. So let me go back to Adobe. Is that, and I see Maxim's hand is up. Go ahead, Maxim. You have the floor.
It's Maxim. Do you hear me better?
Yes, there's no static this time. At least there wasn't. It's a little muffled, but go ahead, please, Maxim.
Just note for clarity, if you look at the startup page where you can check all the dates for sunrises, etc., some of registries, they publish their sunrise policies there, but registries were asked to upload basically English documentation. If they have another set, for example, Chinese or Russian or German policies, they could be found on the on their own website only, because the startup page, it is not intended to have anything in other languages than English, basically. Thanks. It doesn't mean that they are not existing or something. It means that that particular service has only one version. Thanks.
Thank you, Maxim. As Julie mentioned, this document is going to be, among others, open for another 10 hours following this call. So I would encourage you to sort of make that kind of an observation to sort of counterbalance or to balance out what I was saying, because when I review things, I'm just one person's review and I might be getting things wrong. So what you just said is helpful to people to understand where they might be able to get information in this respect. So I would encourage you to do that, but thanks very much. Susan, your hand was up but now down, so I will move on and get to Sunrise Charter question, pardon me, 12, dealing with priority issues. And so, doubling up to the top, the only thing new I see is a comment I said where I came to the conclusion that the three new sources were not helpful in respect to this question. So we've gone through the 12 questions fairly quickly. I'm going to come back to Adobe. I'm looking for hands, and feel free to on any of the 1 through 12 before we are now going to launch into the additional data document. And I don't see any hands. So this is an important document, too. This is an additional document. It's a little bit different Google document that we've been going through, but there are suggestions in here. And so we're going to go from the top. The first was a suggestion by Zach for additional data, and he was referring to a blog Kevin Murphy wrote in Domain Insight in April of 2014, and gives a link to the to Kevin's article. Very nice. And Zach explains how we think that's relevant. George entered a comment about that, and also mentioned that it's not just the article, but the commentary below the article was helpful or was informative. I went through, I have to admit, not having completed my homework assignment, I went through this document with respect to several at the top, and I intend to add comments to the document and to go through the remainder. But on this, my comment would have been, and is, and what I'll put in is, I agree that this block is informative, and especially on preamble questions A through C, possibly on questions 9 and 10, charter questions 9 and 10, and I also believe that that it would be worth reading the blog commentary below the actual article by Kevin. So that's the first matter on the additional data. I'm going to go back to Adobe and look for hands. I don't see any. Excuse me. So back to the additional data document, we're just going down. Next one is also from Zach. He's referring to a blog entitled Fake Trademarks, Stealing Generic Domains in new GTLD Sunrises. George, again, has a comment here talking about how this, talking in addition to how Zach did, how this might be helpful and where it would have an impact. And I will add that my take on this was this would be possibly helpful. I thought this was not as balanced as the one that we just saw from Kevin Murphy, but it is helpful and would be worth a read. And I'm going to go back to Adobe looking for hands. I don't see any. Excuse me. So we're heading back to the additional data document. Next one is also from Zach, referencing an article entitled "The Trademark Clearinghouse Works So Well, One Company Got 24 New GTLDs, TLD, Using the Famous Trademark, the THE in quotation marks." And Zach explains why he believes that is helpful. George adds commentary there as well. And my take on this one was, yes, possibly this will be helpful on the, quote, the issue, close quote. Let me skip back to Adobe very quickly. I don't see any hands, but I do encourage folks to take a good look at this document. Heading back down, Zach is next with an article, "Is the Trademark Clearinghouse Causing New GTLDs to Lose 6 times the Number of Registrations?" And again, I'll just mention Zach explains how this is helpful. George, again, adds similar commentary, including, as he has in the others, specific questions which he believes this will be helpful. And so this is another one that's worthy of attention as we turn our thoughts to developing preliminary recommendations. Quickly back to Adobe. I still don't see hands. So I'm going to move down the document. Next, the next entry in this document is from Michael Karanikolas, "How Common Words Like Pizza, Money, and Shopping Ended Up in the Trademark Clearinghouse for New TLDs." And Michael explains there his comment or his views on how this has an impact, and George agrees and also points to not just agreeing with Michael, but about another question it might be helpful with, another couple of questions that this might be helpful with. I'm going to quickly come back. I don't see any hands. Next entry on this document is also from Michael. "The numbers are in. Donuts Sunrise. Sunrises typically get 100-plus domains, but they also get got gamed." That's the name of an article and a link. By the way, there's links in here to these articles. Same scenario. Michael makes a comment. George agrees and adds some context from his perspective on top of that. Quick look back into the queue. Don't see any. Next entry, again from Michael, "Digging in on Donuts Sunrise. Amazon tops a list, gaming, and top registrars." Another article with a link and Michael's explanation of how this is informative to our work on what we're doing here with Sunrise. George adds his commentary as well. By the way, this document, as you see, just has three columns. It's very easily read, so, and you can see it's very helpful. So George puts his commentary on that as to how he agrees with Michael's analysis and goes a little bit beyond that. The next entry, before I start on the next entry, let me circle back. I don't see any hands. The next entry is also from Michael. Dot build registry using questionable Swiss trademark registrations to grab build, in quotes, domains in Sunrise with link. It sounds like this, I didn't get this far as this one, but it sounds like this is related to the subject of the first two entries, the blog. I may be wrong about that, but I shouldn't speculate. But Michael again goes through his analysis of how this is helpful. And George again adds agreeing commentary. Okay, I'll come back to Adobe very quickly. Next entry is also from Michael. "How did RetailMeNot get 849.codes domains in Sunrise without any trademarks?" Good question. With link. And again, same exercise. Michael goes through his explanation, and George agrees with a little bit more context from his perspective. I'm scrolling.
This is Kathy, if I might. I just wanted to know, George did something interesting, and he appears to have looked at the same article and perhaps expanded, and not perhaps, he did, and added additional questions, Sunrise questions that we're looking at, he added additional questions to Michael's analysis. So you put them all together and they collectively, and same with the prior article, they collectively seem to think that this article applies to, you know, a wide array of Sunrise questions that we're looking at. So I just wanted to note that.
Excellent. Thank you, Kathy, for putting that on there that I didn't see. So I take it that, Kathy, your hand's still up, but I don't see any others, so I'm going to move on.
Sorry, old hand.
Right. Thank you. I'm going to move on to the next entry, which is from Professor Tushnet. Are we running out of trademarks with link? And the extent to which common words are already subject to trademark registration is apparently the subject. George agrees with Rebecca Tushnet's analysis and indicates from his opinion how it helps to inform our work. Come back here real quick. No more hands. Kathy, I see that you have the next entry in this document, and that's the transcript of the face-to-face meeting of the RPM working group from June of 2017 in Johannesburg. And thank you for the links. Very helpful. And you comment on how Amadeo came and made certain points that are worthy of consideration. George agrees, and George added comments in the third column agreeing with you and giving specific pages, et cetera, that would help us to get the gist of this. So thank you both. Hand up, Kathy. Go ahead, please. Kathy, if you're speaking, we're not hearing.
Thank you. I should take myself off mute. Thanks,
okay.
David. I just wanted to say I appreciate George adding the page numbers and showing that there are additional questions it applies to. I just wanted to encourage people, especially anybody who's interested in the Section 8 questions about LRP, ARP, QRP, to read the transcript from Johannesburg. There are two links because it was a long session and it goes on. They divided it up. I think at the break, they brought in a new transcriber so we have two. But even if you look at part one, I just want to read a fast note. This is, so Amadeo Abril with CORE was very, very involved. He kind of came in as an expert to brief us geos and specialized domain names. And he says amazing things like, you know, that the QLP in general worked, but that the ALP was a complete failure. And ICANN staff was not willing to approve anything other than a test, a complete failure. So our expert comes in and tells us that this is really important for Question 8, how someone who had to live through it does it. I also wanted to point out it probably is relevant to Sunrise Questions 5A and B, kind of whether this should be mandatory or optional because of unintended effects, both for geos as well as other types of names. And I just wanted to share, and I'll post this, that Lori Schulman and Amadeo were going are back-to-back, so it must have been part of our conversation, where they're talking about things like police.nyc, windows.construction, and also the order, you know, so should Sunrise be mandatory for everything, or are there certain categories or certain top-level domains? It just doesn't fit very well. So that runs to the mandatory or optional. And then Amadeo is talking about timing. Should Sunrise have absolute priority in every TLD, I think he's referring to geos, or would it make sense for it to come after? And I think he's referring to, you know, more local trademarks. So I just want to share that this is just a really rich transcript from a really rich discussion. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Excellent comments. And I also wanted to mention that Maxim had added some information with respect to this comment in addition to George. So again, and as Kathy just said, this is a good one to go to and take a good look. Not that the others aren't, but a rich discussion, as she said. I'm moving down. Next entry, as I see it, is from Kathy again on WIPO, frequently asked questions on geo indications. And in that particular, as she says, shedding light on what a geo is and what is a trademark, and George agrees. Check Adobe real quick. Excuse me. No questions. Kathy has the next one too, which is another transcript from ICANN Copenhagen of this working group meeting on 11th March 2017. Discussion with Deloitte about the entry of GI into the database and questions raised, and George has indicated agreement with Kathy in this respect. And this is, we've gotten our way through this document. So what we're basically doing is pointing to tools, and I think Kathy's last comment is an excellent illustration of just how useful this is, you know, and how these tools are to take us to the various places we want to go as we consider making preliminary recommendations. So that said, I think we've gotten through the documents, and I'm going to look for questions or comments. And I see George's hand is up. George, why don't you go ahead?
George, we're just a bit transcript. I'm just curious what the format will be of the future documents now that we've compiled these separate data sources. Will we be getting a document that has things organized by chart of question and then have all these previously compiled data sets in that one document, or maybe staff might want to speak to that and how it's going to be organized for our efficiency in terms of the next steps of the sub-team. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. I personally am not in a position to answer that right now, but I will look for hands from staff if they can't. Julie has her hand up, so I'll turn to Julie.
Oh, yeah, thank you. This is Julie Hedlund from staff, and I'll also call on my colleague Ariel. But all of the analysis of all of the data that the subteams have done will be rolled up, and as has been rolled up thus far, into a summary table or summary report. When the subteam completed the data analysis for the data from the analysis group surveys, for example, that summary data, summary table was produced, sent to the subteam for review, and then sent to the full working group. Staff will update the tables and pull everything from the various comments into a summary, and that will be provided to the subteam chairs to review, and also to the subteam to review in advance of the presentation to be made to the full working group in Kobe. But let me also turn to my colleague Ariel for some further details. Ariel, please.
Thanks, Julian. This is Ariel from staff. I just want to add that for the summary table, we'll also include another column for the additional data, and so that we can include the summary of that and the sub-team's comment into that additional column. But then I want to note that because it's a summary table, it doesn't mean to be we're going to capture everything word by word, and we were going to provide a high-level summary overview of what is written in the Google Docs. And then the link of the Google Doc will be included in the summary table for further details. So it means to be a summary, not mean to be reiterating everything already said in the Google Docs. And also, as Julie mentioned earlier, we will encourage the sub-team members to put in your comments into the Google Doc by midnight EST today so that they can be put into a consideration when we're drafting a summary table. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie and Ariel. And there's been a couple questions in the chat about is this a spreadsheet or not? And I take it, Julie, that you've answered that by saying it's a table, basically. But if there are any other questions or comments on that, I'll look for hands. Otherwise, I saw that George had a hand up, but it's down now. Otherwise, as far as I can tell, we have run through the items on the agenda, and so, Julie, I would ask to turn it back to you for AOB at this time. But your hand's up, too, so why don't you go ahead.
Thank you very much, David. This is Julie Hedlund from staff. And so just I hope that you all saw a message earlier today about the upcoming schedule of calls, in particular the meetings in at ICANN's or in Kobe. So just as a reminder, the subteams are not meeting next week because they would otherwise, the meeting times would otherwise clash with travel for those who are traveling to ICANN 64. So the next subteam meetings will be at ICANN 64 on Sunday and Monday, and the Sunrise subteam will have sessions 2 and 3 for the development of preliminary recommendations, and both the Sunrise and Trademark Claims subteams will be making presentations at the full working group meeting, which is session 1 on Sunday, and the timing and links is in the email sent previously. And in preparation for that, and what underpins the discussions we've had today is that the summary table that we've mentioned, or summary report in the form of a table, will be provided to the subteam co-chairs to review, and then provided to the full working group to review. And as Ariel is noting, that the document will be in PDF, but if there is something that is missing or is mischaracterized, we certainly would ask you to bring that to our attention. Then any changes will be incorporated, and the summary table will be sent to the full working group prior to the presentations in Kobe. And also, staff will produce a draft set of slides for those presentations. Those also will be provided to the subteam co-chairs, and then subsequently to the full subteam. We cannot have to Kathy's question, there really is not going to be time for the gathering of comments in a Google Doc. As we just noted, we will submit the reports in PDF, the summary table in PDF, and we do ask if you see that anything is missing or mischaracterized, do let us know. This is the format that we followed when the summary table was previously sent to the subteam when we finished the analysis of the analysis group survey data. So we're following that same format and providing the table in the form of a PDF on the list and asking if there are any comments, but really just comments to whether or not something has been mischaracterized or might be missing, as we're not able to reopen discussions or, you know, gather extensive comments. And so, yes, Maxime, to your question, if you're talking about reopening the Google Docs for any comments on the data that was the homework for today, we will be sending that out after this call, and noting that the deadline will be midnight EST today, Eastern Standard Time. And then if you're talking about the summary table, once the subteam co-chairs have reviewed the summary table, then we'll send it to the subteam, and I think we'll probably ask for comments no later than by COB next Thursday the 7th, so that we can make any final changes on the 8th and get the documents out to the full working group in advance of Sunday's meeting. And yes, thank you. That's correct, David. Midnight is indeed 0500 UTC. As some of us know from a meeting last night, this morning.
Thanks, Julie. And I know Greg and I are very grateful to staff for the work they've done on this. We're grateful to the people that have entered comments in the documents as well as on the phone. And we're turning to the development of preliminary recommendations in Kobe. And so between today or already, you know, and Kobe, it's time to be thinking of it with these good tools that we've developed with some very insightful comments. So the tools are there, and thanks And Julie, as far as I'm concerned, I believe I'm done. Whoops, there's a hand from George. George, why don't you go ahead?
George Rickles here. In terms of our next steps, are we going to be first answering those charter questions and then developing the recommendations? Like, at what point do we actually answer the charter questions that we were assigned? And in terms of sub-team recommendations, I was thinking about this, and there's probably going to be some overlap in terms of the recommendations between the different sub-teams, especially as some of the choices are trade-offs between, or at least possible trade-offs between trademark claims and sub-teams. So I'm just going to toss this out, but at some point we might want to consider merging the sub-teams, perhaps later on in the sub-team work, in order that those possible trade-offs can be discussed. For example, a sub-team on its own might not recommend eliminating trademark claims. A sub-team on its own might not recommend eliminating Sunrise. But when both sub-teams are combined and we look at all the stakeholder groups, there might be a trade-off where one is eliminated and one is kept, and so on. So there's these interactions between the possible recommendations when we're doing trade-offs, which I think probably requires a broader group, either of the sub-teams or the entire working group. And so we might want to think about that. There's already an overlap. I think about 10 of the members of each of the sub-teams are on both sub-teams. So that could also be helpful in terms of efficiency. Thank you.
Thank you, George. There's two hands up, Mary and Phil, and I didn't see who went up first. And so I'm going to ask Phil to speak first as one of the co-chairs of the full working group.
Thank you, Dave, and I'll be brief because I'll be interested in Mary's response. But, you know, I'm just addressing this off the top of my head in response to the question George just raised, but I think it was already understood that the sub-team work, including any recommendations, would be reviewed by the full working group, and if there's overlapping recommendations from different sub-teams, that can be reconciled when we prepare the initial report, which will contain recommendations for community feedback and comment. So I'll stop there, and I'm sure Mary can enlighten us further on process. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. Mary?
Thank you, David, and thank you, Phil. So not much to add from the last slide, except to say that this is where we hope poll-based sessions will be really useful for determining next step. And so as Julie has circulated, the plan is for sub-teams to report to the full working group, and then for the remaining three sessions at ICANN64, there'll be two Sunrise sessions and one for the claims sub-team. And again, the hope is that as working group members attend and listen to these sessions, some of these ideas and possibilities that are being raised at this stage in both of the sub-teams as to possible overlaps and what to do, that those can start to percolate and really inform the next steps discussion. So hopefully that will be a good thing, and thank you all.
Thanks, Mary. And Phil's hand just went down, so I don't see any other hands. And I might therefore hand it back to Julie to close the call, or if there's any other business.
Well, thank you very much, David, and thank you so much for chairing today. This is Julie Hedlund from staff. I don't think we have any other business, but you will see some action items coming out from us, and as noted, we'll reopen the Google Docs, and you'll see a summary table in draft and also some slides, and then we will wish those of you who are traveling safe travels to Kobe. And we look forward to seeing some of you there as well. Thank you so much, everyone, and today's call is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. Please remember to disconnect all lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.